Chester. Now, how about that little matter you promised to take care of for me? Mr. Wiley, the specialist, quote-unquote, guarantees that the incinerary device is identical to the type he's been selling to the Black Cougars gang. And when the building goes up, they'll get all the blame, and you'll get the insurance benefits. And then, it'll be a Merry Christmas for the both of us, Chester. Enjoy your holidays! Chester King steps outside the phone booth, and he is approached by a street beggar.
A spare recorder, mister.
Hey, what's your name, friend?
Why, my name? Everyone calls me Baba. My name's Baba.
A little advice to you, Baba. This is the time of year to aim your sights a little higher. Chester King pulls out a $20 bill and gives it to Baba, the street beggar. Why do you suppose they call it Christmas? Cameron Scott is walking down a street in Washington, D.C. He is alone, thinking to himself. Peggy and Randall. They're off somewhere deep in the woods of Colorado with Ellen and his old man. Then there's Gauze. He's with his sister's family in Philadelphia. Megala and Babylon. They're back at the Damon Clinic for the week to be with their old friends. And me, I'm stuck walking the streets of D.C. by myself. All the people close to me have other places to be. Other people they want to see. That's the way Christmas once was for me too. Before the Captain Atom Project became. Before I was quantum dumped out of the 1960s. It's been over a year now since I arrived here, but I still don't feel like I really am part of this decade. I don't know what it is. Is it just me? Or is it just the way a lot of people feel about the 1980s? Bubba the street beggar approaches Cameron Scott.
Spare a dollar, mister?
I just quit my job the other day there, pal. How about a quarter? Merry Christmas.
God bless you, mister. God bless you.
You are listening to a reading of Captain Adam, number 13. March, the year 1988.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. 'Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Now there is this song I wrote. I hope you learned it note for note, like good little children. Don't worry,
be happy.
Listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. But don't worry, be happy. Be happy now.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy.
Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
Don't worry,
It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy. I'm not worried. I'm happy.
My new cake mix.
We have the power on.
All right.
And it's so delicious.
I think we're getting through, Captain.
What year?
1987, I think. Try it.
Hello, to anybody watching, this is Captain Power, Jonathan Power. Do you read? We have a situation here. The year is 2147. Human life is threatened by biodreads. They follow a Lord Dread. I need your help. I have instructions. Please pay attention. Weekly program transmissions on TV begin September. If you have the power jet, XT-7, the XT-7, you can fire invisible beams at enemy targets on these transmissions. Score or be hit. Warning, the TV show will fire back. It will fire back. Score or be hit. Do you understand? The power of the future is in your hands. My next message is September. Come in. Is anybody there? This is Captain Power.
Inspiration. Day by day, you are my reason to smile. And I know that come what may, it's a great world anyway. Heart to heart, you can face any test.
Living together,
we're the best. No matter what they say, it's a great. They say it's a great world anyway.
I need you in my life.
I'll do anything
to keep you in my life.
Right from my heart, I've got so much to give. Oh, tied up with a ribbon of love. Oh, because of you, I can face it all.
All right, I hope you're doing much better than I am. And I should be doing better. Why? Because it's comic book radio theater! Yes. Our character that we're listening to, that I'm reading about, he doesn't have it too good. He really doesn't. Oh, but you know what's even worse? There's the homeless guy, Bubba. He's homeless. It's cold out. He's panhandling. Maybe he's even hungry. I don't know. Gotta put it in perspective. Anyway, Captain Adam, he ain't feeling right. He should be jolly. He should be in the jolly season, but nope. It's out of season for him to be a jolly fella. All right. I'll tell you what. Just shoot into it. Here on Comic Book Radio Theater, we read comic books to you late Saturday night, CKUW 95.9 FM. In our current state, I am to read to you Captain Adam, number 13, from March of 1988. We're midway through the story. I want to read a whole bunch right now. When I go and take breaks in between, as well as when we finish off this story of Captain Adam number 13. It was out there March of 1988. What about music? What was new that I could pick up? You could pick up. Back in March of 88, try this out at the record store. New from Joan Jett. She released a song that you're still hearing everywhere. And I mean everywhere. On the streets, on other lesser radio stations. There's times where I'm watching football games. I'll hear it in the background and stuff like that. Joan Jett. We'll listen to her. She is performing live from Brazil. Live in concert, Joan Jett. We'll also listen to one of her teenage buddies, Lita Ford. She says, "Kiss me deadly." I wouldn't die for a kiss. Not me. Not even a mistletoe kiss. Forget it. But Lita Ford says, "Kiss me deadly." She says, "Kiss me deadly." Then after some more story, 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 we come to the end. Will it be good? Will it be bad? Or will it be like a lot of listeners? It will be indifferent. You'll only know if you keep listening to Comic Book Radio Theater. Let me get back to my point. New music back in March of 1988, just like our comic book was brand new. We had Leonard Cohen. I remember my mother had the tape cassette for this. I would hear it over and over and over again. Not that I'm complaining. Growing up on Leonard Cohen, no complaints there. We'll have Leonard Cohen. He had a brand new recording back in March of 1988. Well, from good news to bad news, we'll also have Morrissey. We will listen to some Morrissey as well. He is performing live from Manchester. So, live in concert, Morrissey. All right. And then, I don't know. Just so we don't end off on a bad note, we'll have some Art Garfunkel. Art Garfunkel. You know what? Yeah, I gotta set this keyboard a little bit different. Oh, you know what? I gotta check here. Do I need to check it differently? Do I need to? No, I don't. I thought I did. Okay. Forget it. You are listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. We do this from the University of Winnipeg. This show is comic book radio theater. Thanks for listening.
Well, I'm just sick and tired of being on your list, saying that I'm bad and I never get a gift. I just want to push it like everybody else. Same old shit every year, cause it's tough as hell. So, don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
Don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
Don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
You don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
Don't nod at me. Not even a card. Not even a stocking. I just want my gift. Disappointing year on a Christmas night with an empty looking tree, not a single gift in sight. I'm sick of all your judgment, I'm sick of all your shit. Why do you fuck me over with that stupid gun that lives? So, don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
You don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
Don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
You don't nod at me.
Don't nod.
Santa. You fly around the line and you land it with a clatter. Bring it cracker. I'd like to rub you with a bow and put you in your sack.
I'm Nyla. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
All the people who are close to me have other places to be. Other people they want to see. That's the way Christmas once was for me, too. That was before the Captain Atom Project. Before I was quantum bumped out of the 1960s. It's been over a year now since I arrived here. But I still don't feel like I'm really a part of this decade. I don't know what it is. Is it me? Just me? Or is it the way a lot of people feel about the 1980s? Bubba, the street beggar, approaches Cameron Scott.
Spare a dollar, mister?
I just lost my job the other day. How about a quarter? Merry Christmas. And at the abandoned Dixie Hotel, where Chester King has his little errand to run. Bahamas, here we come!
Here we come!
Here we come!
I can't wait to see Bonnie's face light up when I tell her where we're going to go tomorrow night. She's always hated snow and the cold, even this time of year. It's not her fault. A girl can't spend the first 18 Christmases of her life in Las Vegas and not come out at least a little weird. After a week in the Bermuda sun and surf, Bonnie ought to lay off giving me grief about working for Mr. Wiley, at least for a little while. Usually, she knows better not to ask about the sort of things I do to earn these bonuses from Mr. Wiley. But hell, Mr. Wiley isn't all that different from any other fat cat. They all had to cheat to get somewhere. Somewhere to where they are today. And cheat to stay where they are now. I figure I'm entitled too. Yeah! Why shouldn't Chester King get his piece of the pie? If it wasn't me doing Mr. Wiley's dirty work, it'd be somebody else. Besides, this condemned building is nothing more than an eyesore anyway. Mr. Wiley is itching to put up a luxury condo on the site. If the Dixie Hotel burns down tonight, he won't have to renovate the building and turn it over to the city as a permanent shelter for the homeless. Who needs them? When the arson investigators find the traces of that incendiary device I just placed, they'll accuse the Black Cougars gang of torching the building to protest the mayor's welfare program. Ha! I've learned a lot from Mr. Wiley. Yes, indeed I have.
With you, Bubba?
Bubba, the street beggar, is drinking a new bottle of alcohol, whiskey. He's hardly listening to anyone.
What's the matter with you, Bubba, eh? Ain't you got the spirit? Here we go. All this trouble for you, and you don't even bother to join in. Or maybe you got some better place to be on Christmas Eve.
Better than this place? There was a time, Vinny, when only the creme de la creme of the rich and famous of this town could even get into the ballroom of the Dixie Hotel on the night before Christmas.
And all through the house,
Not a creature is stirring. Not even a...
Chester King walks into an Irish pub across the street from the old, abandoned Dixie Hotel. He shouts out as he enters through the door.
Pour around for everybody, bartender! I'm buying!
Well, if it isn't Chester, Chester King!
I haven't seen you around much these days, pal!
The way Chester is handing money around, the man must have had a damn fine year, just a damn fine year. Cameron Scott is also in the same Irish pub that Chester King just walked into. He is having a beer by himself, alone. He thinks to himself,
everybody's talking all at once, but not to me. Why do I feel like such an alien here? Is it because this is the first time I've ever been in a pub since the late 60s? Or is it so much deeper than that? Is it because an alien is what I, Cameron Scott, really is? It's what I really is and will always be from now on, whether the silver skin is showing or not. A man forever out of time and out of sync with his own generation?
The grandfather sits down at the dinner table with his grandchildren, his teenage grandchildren, and his son, Wade Elling. He has a story to tell them.
By the time I was your age, Margaret, this peach-fuzzed lad had logged nearly a dozen kills for the 14th Squadron. But there was one morning during those glorious World War II years that I will never, ever forget. There was a leak in my fuel line. It had forced me to leave the 14th in the mid-run and head my ailing plane back towards the base. I had just passed through a cloud when I spotted him. There was no mistaking the twin Spando machine guns on that demon Fokker DR-1. It had to be Hans von Hammer, the most infamous Nazi airman of all time. They said von Hammer had racked up close to 72 kills since the war had begun. Well, children, fuel leak or not, I was a soldier and a flyer, dammit. And I wasn't about to let such a golden opportunity pass through my fingers. So I let loose and fired all my rounds. And yet somehow, to this day, I cannot explain it. Von Hammer knew it. He knew it. It's if he had eyes in the back of his head. He knew I was coming for him. He not only anticipated the precise angle of my attack, but even the trajectory of my bullets. Before I could re-maneuver, Von Hammer's daring upward loop had reversed the tide of the battle. Now he was the predator. And your grandfather was the prey. Yeah. I knew I was about to become victim of the killer skies. I girded myself for Von Hammer's fiery coffin nails. But to my astonishment, his lethal barrage never came. As the Fokker DR-1 swooped by overhead, my opponent's mercy made no sense to me. Until I remembered my plane was disabled. And then, that's when I realized it wasn't mercy that spared me, but my enemy's legendary battle code. Other pilots had claimed he would steadfastly refuse to shoot down an unarmed or wounded foe. Reportedly, because that would be murder, not combat. Von Hammer turned and gave me a salute. You want to know what I gave him in return, children? Hot lead! I gave him hot lead! I had pulled out my sidearm and began to firing away at his DR-1. As it passed out of range. I was consumed with rage, like I'd never known before. But I knew from that day forward, I would always owe my life not to my skill as a soldier, but to the code of an enemy, a code that I thought was spineless and weak. Win at all costs, win at any cost. That was the credo I was brought up with. That was the code I raised my son to believe in. And look where it got him. Your stepfather here is a 3-star general who can get Mr. President on the phone anytime he damn well pleases.
That's telling a pop. By the time I was your age, Randall, I could recite Grandfather's enemy ace encounter backwards and forwards.
And for that I am truly sorry, Wade. It took me most of my lifetime to realize how wrong I'd been about what happened in those skies over France that day. No one knew for certain whatever happened to Von Hammer, though most people believe before the war's end, he too was finally claimed by the killer skies. But one thing I am certain of, he died as he lived, with honor. Since the Great War, I've watched hundreds of men die. It took that many deaths, I'm sad to say, before the truth finally dawned on me. I finally realized why Von Hammer let me live that day.
We'll return with Captain Atom number 13 after these messages. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg. Okay, let's look for our ads. What do we got for ads? Hey, this product here. Just for the giggles. Would you buy this product? Would it mesmerize you? What am I talking about? The Roomerang, the indoor boomerang. It's amazing, safe, and fun. A straight boomerang flies 8 to 10 feet and flutters back, defying logic. Introductory offer, buy one, get one free. Two for only $5.95 plus $1.50 postage. The Roomerang, the indoor boomerang. Send today to the Goose Company, P.O. Box 1892, San Jose, California, zip code 95150. The Roomerang, the indoor boomerang. Okay. Would you throw that? Would you throw it at someone or something or somewhere? Right. Would you go to this store? This is their next ad. Would you go to this store? Especially if you like something that you can stand on and roll places. Yeah, you can roll around. You can stand on it and you can roll around. What am I talking about? Skateboards, wheels, trucks, safety gear, t-shirts, and more! More! All the best brands, the same gear the pros use. Do you want to tear it up just like the pros? Of course you do!
Of course you do! Of course you do!
Send today for your free catalog to Biff Wiffles, House of Skateboards, 853 America Way, Del Mar, California, zip code 92014. Cheap prices, Biff Wiffles, House of Skateboards. Okay. I like skateboards. I've never skateboarded before in my life, but I like looking at the art on like the back of skateboards and stuff like that. And I guess, you know, if there's some really good skateboarders around, I like to watch them try to do their tricks or whatever. I'm sorry, I don't know my skateboarding really well, but I like to see them try to grind a pipe. If that's a thing in skateboarding, I like to see them grind a pipe. Not smoke a pipe, but grind a pipe. All right. This was a comic book that was put out, and yeah, you'd have to smoke a lot of pipes to get into this comic book. What am I talking about?
What is
the Weird? A four-issue miniseries featuring the Justice League International by Jim Starlin, Bernie Wrightson, and Dan Green.
The Weird.
On sale in December from DC Comics. Okay. Our last ad. All right, let's see. What do we got here? We're going to talk more video games here, or I'm going to tell you about more video games from the past. What am I talking about? Tato brings out the hero in you. Now you can bring home your favorite Smash Arcade hits for play on the Nintendo Entertainment System and bring out excitement, action, and all the adventure you dare. We've got the thrills, the chills, and the challenge you and your friends won't want to miss.
potato brings out the hero in you with elevator action, the legend of Cage, Arkanoid, and Renegade. Tato for play on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Okay. I used to play Arkanoid. I used to play that game. If you cared to know. And I think I played Elevator Action. And I lost. I did not make it to the big levels. And it made me angry. Made me angry. I put the game down. Okay. Let's see. Clear my throat and say on to you. We now return to Captain Atom number 13. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg. A code I thought was spineless and weak-willed, win at any cost. That's the credo I was brought up with. That was the code I raised my son to believe in, and look where it got him. Your stepfather here is a three-star general who can get the president, the U.S. president, on the phone anytime he damn well pleases.
That's telling him, Pa. By the time I was your age, Randall, I could recite your grandfather's enemy ace encounters backwards and forwards.
And for that, I am truly sorry, Wade. It took me a lifetime to realize how wrong I'd been about what happened in those skies over France that day. No one knew for certain whatever happened to Von Hammer. Though most people believe before the World War II's end, he too was finally claimed by the killer skies. But one thing I am certain of, he died as he lived with honor. And since the Great War, I've watched hundreds of men die. It took that many deaths, I'm sad to say, before the truth finally dawned on me. I finally realized why Von Hammer let me live that day. He knew that a man was no use of a scorecard when the end comes. Win or lose, it doesn't really matter. When a man is about to meet his maker, he realizes all that matters is how he played the game. Yes, all these years I've been wrong.
Crap, crap, that's crap, Papa. That's crap, Pa. That's the biggest load of crap I ever heard. You're going soft, old man. Soft and senile.
Wade Elling puts out his cigarette in his half-filled coffee cup and walks away from the dinner table. He is quite angry.
I need some fresh air.
Pop, take your coat. You'll freeze to death out there.
Wade Elling walks outside the Colorado country cabin. He walks out to the middle of nowhere. Alone by himself. Thinking. we go back to the Irish pub across the street from the Dixie Hotel in Washington, D.C. Cameron Scott, drinking his beer, still by himself, alone. He thinks to himself, who am I kidding? This is no way to spend Christmas Eve. I feel more alone here than I did when I was out on the streets. Just face it, pal. You're out of it. You're out of sync. You're out of touch. You're out of it. 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 A worried man all of a sudden runs into the Irish pub. Fire!
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 Across the vacant lot at the old hotel. At the old Dixie Hotel.
Fire!
Fire!
Fire! Fire!
There was this big explosion and the whole place just lit up. They went up. They went up.
Oh, those poor squatters!
Squatters! Squatters! Squatters!
Oh, oh, Lord!
Oh, Lord!
The Dixie Hotel, it's going up in flames! Flames!
Flames!
Chester King thinks to himself as he runs outside the Irish pub to look at the scene, to look at the Dixie Hotel.
Mr. Wiley never said anything about any squatters.
Call the fire department now!
Now! Now! Now!
Just don't stand there, people! Let's go!
Go!
Go! Every able-bodied man has to hustle!
We've got to try and do something for those poor people! Those poor people trapped inside that place!
What can we do? Throw snowballs at the flames? What can any of us do?
No!
Cameron Scott thinks to himself, you just keep watching there, Ace, and you'll see. You are listening to a reading of Captain Atom, number 13, March, the year 1988.
Take out my hate, myself, for loving you.
say.